Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Now, I don't know about you, but I think that the push for Christmas, I think, came earlier this year than other years. Because I think that around Halloween, I started seeing Christmas decorations and Santas being sold. And also, though I do love Christmas music, it gets to the point where I'm almost glad when Christmas is over. And it does, I think, unfortunately seem to lose some of its magic as we get older, and commercialism tends to get a little bit more intense. But one song that always kind of sticks in my head is Andy Williams' "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," which I think Target has kind of consumed for the beginning of the school year for parents, if you've ever seen that commercial. Yeah. But listening to the lyrics, just this sense of a magical and mystical, wonderful place of peace and harmony, isn't it? You know, there'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be much mistletoeing, and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I mean, even the music itself is upbeat and cheery. Even if you don't know the words, just listening to it just kind of brings a smile to your face. It's just an all-around feel-good song, isn't it? And yet, the reality of the season for so many is just the opposite of that. For so many, it's not really the most wonderful time of the year at all. I mean, where is the joy and the peace when just a few days ago, 6 more Americans were murdered in Afghanistan? Where's the good cheer with over 1 million refugees streaming out of Syria and other war-torn countries? Where's the magic and mystery when you are alone, when you don't have loved ones around you, when you're struggling to make ends meet, maybe when you're facing death or still grieving someone else's death? It's often a very hard time of the year. And I think part of the problem, I believe part of it is because we've overlooked and missed the significance of what we do at this time. The purpose of this season. I mean, we've missed the boat, so to speak, even from such great prophets like Dr. Seuss. I mean, what's the Christmas story that is retold? But how the Grinch stole Christmas. And no one wants to be known as a Grinch, right? You know, that's a negative. But I think even here in the story of how the Grinch, that we all, I would say, know in this room, we miss the point, I think, and focus on the wrong things, even in this story. Because we focus on the Grinch stealing the presents, don't we? We don't want to be bah humbug, we don't want to be evil and heartless. But what did the Grinch really steal? I mean, if you look at what Dr. Seuss is trying to get across, he took all the supposed trappings of Christmas. He stole the commercialism. Because in the end, what are we told? As he hovered over the city, waiting to hear the cries of anguish as they woke up and their magical, wonderful celebration was ruined. But I think Seuss says it best. So bear with me. For 3,000 feet up on the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Poo-poo to the who's, he was grinchously humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook when he saw what was a shocking surprise. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags, and he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler got sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. See, I think too often we allow our circumstances to dictate our feelings. We look at the Grinch and we focus on how evil he is, and not that Christmas was still there, that he showed what it truly was about. The joy and the promise that Christmas brings has nothing to do with our circumstances, but has everything to do on the reliability and the reality of the God we worship, of the God that we are celebrating this evening. A God who cemented his promises within his own Son, who we celebrate tonight. And yet even in the familiar story from the Gospel, again, we often focus on the wrong thing. We had a wonderful sheep on the pageant on Sunday. We focus on the sheep and the manger and all of the trappings of the inn. N.T. Wright, in his commentary, stated this. He says, you know, if you try to point out something to a dog, the dog will often look at the finger instead of the object you're trying to point to. This is frustrating, but it illustrates a natural mistake we all make from time to time. Now, if you own a dog, and from the laughter, I believe some of you do, you could be pointing at the largest bowl of food, at least with my lab, that is, and they will fixate on your finger, thinking you have a treat there instead of out in the yard. See, in the Christmas story, we often focus on the wrong stuff. The pregnant girl out in the cold, no room in the inn, that there are camels and donkeys, and of course, the manger. You can't go without the manger. As N.T. Wright goes on to explain, he says this, he goes, let's be clear about where they were lodging. Tradition has them knocking at an inn door, being told there was no room, and then being offered the stable along with the animals. But the word for inn in the traditional translations has several meanings. And it's likely that they were, in fact, on the ground floor of a house where people normally stayed upstairs. The ground floor would often be used for animals, hence the manger or feeding trough, which came in handy for the baby. But there's nothing to say that there were actually any animals there at the time. So sorry to destroy all of your Christmas memories. But to concentrate on the manger and to forget why it was mentioned in the first place is like a dog looking at the finger rather than the object. Why has Luke mentioned it 3 times in the story? The answer is because it was the feeding trough, appropriately enough, which was the sign to the shepherds. It was told them which baby they were looking for. It showed them that the angels knew what they were talking about. See, the manger was only there to point us to the truth and the reality of what the angels had declared. Basically, that God had come through. That he had provided hope for the hopeless. He had provided peace for the war-torn. He had provided eternal life for all of us destined to die. That is the point of the Christmas story. Not the presents, not the decorations, not the food, not even the gathering of family and friends. The point is that tonight, once again, God is offering each one of us a way to himself. A light in the darkness of this society. I mean, that is good news of great joy. That through Jesus we can be saved. And I pray that each of us would be like the shepherd all those many years ago. Because what did they do? They immediately went and checked it out. Got to see if the angels were sitting, knew what they were talking about. And when they saw that the angels' words were true, that hope now was in the world, what are we told? It said the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. It has been told to us. How do we react? Do we run to check it out? To see if what God has pronounced is true and real? And then when we see what God is doing, do we return glorify and praising Him for all that He has done. I pray that we would. Amen.